Episode 157.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we talk about that crazy Google Medic update that happened over 2 months ago. What the heck was that all about, and what does it mean for you? I'm also going to talk to you about my plan to work on an Amazon wholesale business with you. We're going to talk about it week to week on the podcast. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? When it's late at night, at the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
All right. So how has everyone been doing? I am Mark Mason, coming to you live from a studio in Dallas. I hope you're having an absolutely amazing week and crushing it in your online business. I have been a little bit under the weather. I had a little of an elevated temperature, so I have been keeping things on the down low. I took a day off work. I'm feeling a little better, so I'm on the mic and trying to crank out episode 157 of the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. This is where we help people just like you grow, start, build online businesses and have a lot of fun doing it. And I welcome you and appreciate you being here and listening to the show. Now, this week I've got two topics for you. And the first topic that I wanted to discuss was this idea that we brought up a couple of weeks ago about paying for a swimming pool with Amazon wholesale. I got some feedback on that. It's pretty interesting. If you missed that episode, what we discussed is the fact that it doesn't take that much to pay for a swimming pool with a part of an online business. You know, this comes from this idea, this legend, myth, actually, I think true story with John Lennon, where he wanted a swimming pool, but he didn't have the cash. And so he decided to write a song that day to pay for his swimming pool because the record label would give him an advance on the song. And so he wrote a song. I think as the story goes, he got $60,000 and put in a swimming pool that day. It takes more than a day to put in a swimming pool. That's a whole nother podcast. The how long does it take to put in a swimming pool podcast? It takes forever, especially if it rains at all. But this is the John Lennon thing. And so as my family has been discussing this idea of putting in a swimming pool, it made me think, well, can you pay for a swimming pool with internet marketing? You know, it's an interesting question because a lot of people, they get into internet marketing because they want extra money for something. Sometimes people want to grow a full-time online business to leave their day job or pursue the work that they love. But a lot of times they're wanting that to make up the difference between the amount of money they have from their current job and what they feel like they want or need to have for car payment or medical bills or whatever, or maybe like John Lennon, a swimming pool. And so the question was, well, can you do that with Amazon wholesale we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks? And the answer is, well, sure, you just need to do a little math. So let's say that you need, you know, we were going to say $500 a month, but let's use an even more round number. Let's say you need $500 a month in a pool payment, but in order to get that after taxes, you really need to make $1,000 a month because you're going to give, let's say, just round numbers here, half of your money to taxes, Uncle Sam. So you need to have a revenue situation with your Amazon business that generates about $1,000 a month so you can keep $500 and make a pool payment every month of $500. So a $500 pool payment at today's interest rates will easily get you a $60,000 or $70,000 pool. So you should be good to go with $500 a month for your pool payment. So in order to make that payment, we need to have a profit of $1,000 a month before taxes from our Amazon wholesale business. So we had talked previously that a typical Amazon profit margin, the amount of money that you should expect to make, the percentage of money that you should expect to make, is about 20%. So really what it means is, if you're really going to target 20% and hit that, which is not easy to do, we can talk about that in a little bit, but if you're really going to hit that, then you need to sell on Amazon about $5,000 worth of stuff every month. So you can do that math. You know, if you take 5,000 and divide it by 30, that means on Amazon, you need to be selling about $166 a day worth of stuff. So if you're selling $20 or $25 items, your means you're selling 5, 6, 7, 8 items a day, right? Not a big deal, seems like. So the question is, can you do that and maintain this 20% margin and pay for your swimming pool? And so if you back that up one step further, in order to sell that inventory, you're going to have to get that inventory to Amazon. So you should figure probably that you're going to pay, let's say 40% of your inventory is going to be cost of goods sold. So you need to be buying about $2,000 a month in inventory that you're sending into Amazon. So this is a really simple thing, right? So you buy $2,000 worth of stuff, you send it into Amazon, it sells for about $5,000 on Amazon, you keep $1,000, you give half to the government, and you pay for your pool with the other half. That's what we're going to try to do. So that's what we talked about, and I think those are good numbers for this experiment. So the question is, can you actually do that if you're only going to work on that 30 minutes a day? If that's all you're going to do, if you're going to work on it 30 minutes a day, can you really do that? So we're going to do an experiment. I'm going to see if I can just work on that for 30 minutes a day for the rest of the year. And I've got a little egg timer. Every day, I'm going to find time to turn over the egg timer, and I'm going to work on the Amazon FBA business for 30 minutes. And then when the egg timer runs out, I'm going to stop, more or less. And I probably won't get to it every day. And some days I may work a little more than 30 minutes. But to be honest with you, it's going to be a struggle for me to even work on it that much. And the question is, can I get to that level of revenue just doing that by the end of the year, just doing that 30 minutes a day? And I know from doing this that the even a better question is, can I reach that level of margin? I am absolutely certain, without any question at all, that I can definitely get to that level of revenue. It's really easy to buy things and send them into Amazon and sell $5,000 a month in stuff. The question is, can you do that and do it in a way where you're making 20% profit margin? That's the really hard part. And that's the part we're going to talk about. So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to give you periodic reports. Every couple of weeks, I'll let you know what's going on. So 2 weeks from now, I'll give you an update on this. We're going to call this
the late night swimming pool experiment,
and we're going to see how it goes. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be really interesting. If you have questions about Amazon FBA wholesale, now's the time. Go to latenightim.com/feedback or send me email to feedback@latenightim.com. Ask me your questions, and we'll be sure to answer them right here on the show.
It's time to get to work building your internet business. One night at a time. One night
at a time. Okay, so our main topic for today is this Google Medic update. So the Google Medic update, it was first, as these updates often are, it was first reported by Barry Schwartz over at SEO Roundtable. He is like the guru reporter SEO guy. If you've never looked at SEORoundtable.com, I definitely recommend Barry. He's got lots of good things to say. And in this case, as is often the case, he was the first to notice this and report this. And what they do over there is they track rankings of a bunch of websites, and they can detect when websites are, when their rankings are going up or down. And so sometimes they can sniff out these updates even before Google mentions them. And that was the case here. In fact, he reported it before Google ever even mentioned it. And then he immediately surveyed a bunch of websites that were impacted and looked at the content and looked at the content that was impacted. And of the people that he talked to and the data that they had, he found out that almost half of the sites that were impacted had something to do with either your money or your life. YMYL sites is what they call them in Google. So it's these sites that are health related, and that's why they call it the medic update, because 40% or more of the sites that were impacted by this update were health related, and a bunch of sites that were finance related were impacted. So these are sites that deal with your money or your life. And the idea we think now after a couple of months is that what Google was really targeting was heavily sites that rely heavily on EAT. Now, for those of you that have been in search engine optimization for a long time, you know that EAT is Google's acronym for expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. Expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness, EAT. And so it stands to reason that if you don't have those things, you probably shouldn't be giving medical advice. So why would Google want to do this? Why would Google want to seek out websites that don't have good EAT and push them down in the rankings? And so here's the reason why. As we've discussed before on the podcast, Google makes money from selling ads. In fact, most of the money that Google makes comes from its ad network. So if Google's making money selling ads, they're selling those ads mostly, not exclusively, but mostly on their search engine platform. And that works for them because they are the de facto standard in search engines. Yeah, there's Bing and DuckDuckGo and Yahoo, which Bing and Yahoo are essentially the same thing. But when you go to search for something on the internet, 99 times out of 100, if you surveyed 100 random people, they would tell you that if they know what search engine they're going to Google. Now, the exception is if they've got a Windows machine and they don't know any different, they're going to Bing because they don't know the difference and they're not a savvy computer user. But most users that choose a search engine choose Google. And in fact, Google is so popular, it's its own verb, right? We Google things. We don't search things on the internet. We Google them to find an answer. So, you know, whenever you've got your own verb, you're doing something right. So the way you protect that if you're Google is you make sure that you have absolutely the best possible user experience imaginable. And what do users want? They want the answer to whatever question they're asking. See, when you go to a search engine, really you're asking a question. You want to know the answer to where to buy something or what to do about something or how to fix something or what a piece of information, how many people live in North Dakota, whatever it is, you've got a question that you need answered. And Google's job is to find exactly what it is that you think you're looking for, almost independently of how good you are at typing in the thing that you're searching for. They need to divine your intent. And once they do that, they need to give you absolutely the best, most authoritative and trustworthy information from the best expert out there, EAT. That's their goal. Now, if you're Googling what to do about your grandmother's colon cancer, it's really important, right, that they give you authoritative expert advice on that. And they have cranked up the volume on that, particularly on medical and, in the same token, financial sites. That's what the medic update is. So the two questions that I get about this is, well, one, does this mean that I should not start an affiliate site in the medical niche right now because of this thing? And my answer is, well, are you able to create EAT in that niche? If you are a DPT or a CPT, a certified physical therapist, and you're thinking about creating a niche site around around this medical, around physical therapy, rather, I think that's absolutely fine. You can do that. You should understand that because part of this is trustworthiness, and trustworthiness is really a proxy, we think, for backlinks to your site, it's going to take you a while to establish trust in that marketplace. And it's probably going to take you longer to establish trust in the physical therapy niche than it is in the lawnmower niche. But if you don't care about lawnmowers and you don't have expertise in that, and you don't want to write website articles about lawnmowers, then I think it's perfectly fine to start something in the medical niche. However, if you're just a person who's looking for an affiliate opportunity and you go over to ClickBank and you find that there are things that you can sell regarding plantar fasciitis, and you want to consider starting a site on plantar fasciitis, but you're not a podiatrist, you don't know anything about feet, you have no medical credentials, and you have no intention of hiring someone to create authoritative content on that site, then I would say no. I would not get into a medical or financial niche right now unless you have access to expertise and you're really committed to creating authoritative content. Now, this is standard issue SEO advice for all content, right? You want to have expertise, authority, and trustworthiness in every kind of content that you create. But particularly if you are in these two niches, Google is looking for that, apparently, and many websites have been hammered recently to the tune of tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars a month in search engine value, the value of the traffic coming to those sites, because they lack in Google's vision the expertise, the authority, and the trustworthiness. And you know, you wonder, well, how does Google do this? And of course, only Google knows that, but certainly some of the signals that they're looking at are now related to machine learning. So they have humans evaluating sites and entering that data into databases. And then they use those databases to teach machine learning engines what good websites look like. And so those machine learning algorithms are getting smarter and smarter, and Google is giving them a longer and longer leash to go attack things. So my answer to you, if you're thinking about creating something in a medical or financial niche, let's say you're planning on going to FinCon. It's a great conference, by the way. And you are going to become a financial blogger. It's going to be a lot easier for you if you have credentials in that space that will help you establish your authority. Now, the second question that I get after should I do this is, what do I do if I've been affected by this, or what can I do to protect this? So the obvious answer is you want to bolster your expertise, your authoritativeness, and your trust. So, you know, one of the things that you can do is to make sure that you have all of the things on your website that trustworthy websites have. You need to make sure you have a way to contact you. You need to make sure you have all the disclaimer and privacy policies and all of the terms of service and type legalese that we have always talked about. Google looks at that as a signal of trustworthiness because serious websites absolutely have that kind of information. The other thing that you need to do is you need to make sure that you have author bios that reflect whatever expertise or authority you have. For example, if I were going to have an electronic gadget blog, I would definitely want to construct an author bio that made sure that it described the fact that I have 2 degrees in electrical engineering and experience with gadgets, and maybe go on and on about, you know, why I'm an expert in the field of gadgets, if that's really true. Okay. And that kind of author bio is important because the way WordPress works, if you're working with WordPress, each of your articles will show the author, and the author will link to the author bio, and you may even want to put a bio at the end of each article that links to your author bio so that it's easy for Google to determine, yes, this was written by a particular person. It's not just a random article on a blog. It's a particular person that wrote this article, and this person has credentials and authority, and you're going to want to link your into your social media profiles and other things that gives signals to Google that you're a real person with expertise and authority. So that's the kind of thing that you're going to want to do. So that's the second thing, is you're going to want to make sure it's clear who's writing this and that you have authority. The other thing that I want you to do in these cases is I want you to write what I'm going to call expertly written content. And the way I want you to think about expertly written content is I want you to refer to authoritative websites. And I want you to think about this as if you are writing content for some kind of class paper. If you ever wrote a paper for high school or college, you know that whenever any time that you made an assertion, you provided data to back up the assertion. And in this world, that would be in the form of an outbound link. So if you were to say something, as we know, as is well known, you know, saccharin causes cancer in laboratory rats, I want you to reference the study that says saccharin causes cancer in laboratory rats with an outbound link. Even if that is obvious to the reader, I still want you to give that outbound link to, you know, WebMD or wherever wherever is appropriate, some university research paper to show that you are using, you know, this kind of referential link to authoritative sources because you are in fact an authority. So I think that's a really important thing. We're also seeing some secondary things. I think, you know, authoritative websites, they have good scores with regard to their behavior on mobile because serious websites are mobile responsive and they get good mobile experience scores. They're mobile friendly. They also have good scores with regard to site speed, and they have good scores with regard to their ad experience. Whenever the page is queried by Google, Google doesn't see a bunch of ads above the fold because authoritative websites, they're not super ad heavy. They're worried about user experience. Again, if you look at this from Google's perspective, they are trying to deliver the best experience for the user. If the user's looking for a solution to their plantar fasciitis and they come to your website and the first third of the page is a big honking ad for an ebook they need to buy for $27, that's probably not the best user experience. They need to get to that later. What they want right up front is the answer to the question that they're looking for. So those are the kinds of things that you should be doing in order to establish expertise, authority, and trust. One of the things that there's a really good article, and I'll link to this in the show notes, that the Hoth did, where they took they summarize a bunch of Schwartz's analysis. You know, this guy Barry Schwartz, he did a bunch of analysis and he looked at websites and tried to understand what of the affected websites, which websites were affected least. And design and ad experience were an issue. Mobile experience was an issue. So the sites that had better ad experience, better mobile experience, better design experience, they were affected least. Also, sites that had better inbound links. Obviously, if you're getting links from other trusted websites, it's an indication that you can also be trusted. So I think this kind of link authority in this particular case becomes more important than ever. And it's not important in the way that it so much as it used to be, in that just more links is better and you're just trying to tip the scale in your favor. This is more of being interpreted apparently as a signal to Google that these things are important. So answer to question number one, I would only get into medical and finance websites right now if you're sure that's what you want to do and you're equipped to deal with it. Second thing is, I would definitely do the things that I mentioned. All of these good SEO practices like design practices, ad practices, mobile experience practices are very important. Make sure you have a good author profile, good legal disclaimers, good ways for people to contact you. All these things that create trust. And make sure you're creating absolutely excellent authoritative content. One of the things that Schwartz points out also is that article length also seems to matter in this case. So you want to make sure that you have a length that's appropriate for the question. I mean, if someone is Googling what is 2 + 2, the answer is 4. You don't need 4,700 words to answer that question, but you definitely want to make sure that your articles are comprehensive. We see that page length is still helping in ranking. You want to make sure you have authoritative content. So with regard to the Google Medic update, you want to focus on EAT, but guess what? This advice, this focus on EAT advice is absolutely germane to whatever niche you're in. If you've got a website on underwater basket weaving, you absolutely want to have underwater basket weaving expertise, underwater basket weaving authority, and underwater basket weaving trustworthiness. If you're a former Navy scuba diver who participated on the U.S. Olympic underwater basket weaving team, that's going to be some good authoritativeness with which you can build trust. You're going to want to have those sorts of things. So I hope that helps. I hope that answers some of your questions about this Google Medic algorithm. Hey, if you were impacted by the Google Medic algorithm and you have questions or you want to tell me about your experience or what you're doing to correct it or get some advice, look me up. Hit me at feedback@latenightim.com. I'd love to talk to you about that. Okay, so that wraps it up for this week. Tonight, I'm going to spend 30 minutes trying to buy some stuff for Amazon FBA wholesale. And I'm going to tell you all about what I get done between now and next week. So look forward to that. We'll have lots of more fun things in addition to come. We're not going to just talk about Amazon FBA wholesale, but every week or two, I'm going to try and give you a little update on the swimming pool experiment. Talk to you soon.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then,
go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
Okay, so I posted on Facebook. I don't post all that much stuff on Facebook. On my personal profile, I posted this snapshot of a little piece of paper that my daughter hung up in her play area upstairs where she was playing school. So she liked to play school with her friends. Now, she's at school like 8 hours a day. So I don't know why kids like to play school, but she's playing school. She had a contract for her class, some behaviors that they had to agree with. And she said, you know, for her little play students that were there, they had to promise to have integrity, promise to be respectful, and promise to be kind. So this is hanging up in my upstairs play area. I'll put a picture of it in the show notes over at latenightim.com/157. I thought that was awesome. I love the fact that whatever else is going on at school and, you know, whether they're teaching her math at the right rate or spending too much time doing paperwork and teaching to standardized tests or all the other things that all the media and everybody worries about, the behavior that this 8-year-old child is modeling is that people should have integrity, respect, and kindness. And I think that's an awesome thing. And so I think we should do that too, is focus, spend some time in the adult world,
maybe especially on Facebook, respecting people and acting with integrity and being really kind. Let's do that this week. Ciao.
Late night internet marketing.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explain to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.